At this time, there will be a public hearing for an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County in reference to affordably priced rental units. Ms. Brandy Bennett is going to make a brief presentation, as will other persons assist her in her office, and the legal counsel will be assisting. Ms. Bennett?
Good morning.
Morning.
So, as you know, we've been working on an amendment to the Sussex County Rental Program Ordinance that was created a couple of years ago. So I'm going to hand it over to Stephanie Hansen in just a couple of seconds. But I just wanted to say that we're basically just trying to further incentivize developers to voluntarily participate in this program. Right now, it's just been a stagnant program since the fall of the real estate market. So we're looking to really boost the interest and the involvement in that program with that, and also to make this an interesting and attractive program to tenants as well. So Stephanie, if you just want to go over a couple of points that we're changing.
Sure. Thank you very much. This is actually the culmination of work that we began almost a year ago or so. And we recognize that since the passage of the ordinance in 2008, we haven't had any Sussex County rental units that have actually come to fruition. So this is our way of trying to actually jumpstart this program. So we held a meeting with stakeholders back on June the 8th. After that, we drafted an outline of major points that were of revision to the ordinance, and then Brandy presented those to you back in July 26th. And then we did the introduction of the ordinance where last month, but it was the end of September, we presented again the major points of revision of the ordinance. And today, I don't want to rehash all the things that we've talked about. I want to give you a little bit more, you know, detail on some areas that I think you might be interested in. Today is different in that we've actually bringing the ordinance to you today for a vote. So we've also supplied a copy of this ordinance to HUD and DOJ, as we're required to do under the consent decree. Any change to the Sussex County Rental Program needed to be submitted to them prior to its consideration before council. That was supplied to them back in September. We have not heard anything from them at this point. We had held an early discussion with HUD back in last February on the concept of changing the Sussex County Rental Program and why. We did get some early positive feedback on the on our movement to do that, so that looks good. So at this point, the major points of revision are number one, and we got a lot of this from meeting with the folks that actually do development of rental housing. Some for-profit developers, nonprofit developers, as well as the State Housing Authority was part of the group as well. And one of the things that we heard was to eliminate the minimum unit size. It used to be, in order to even come into the Sussex County Rental Program, you had to be proposing a development of at least 25 units. But what happens is, a lot of times you'll see developments that will come to you that are less than 25 units. And when they're less than 25 units, the thought is, and I think that this is accurate, that you'll actually have less, to the extent that there would be community resistance, there may be less resistance at that point because it's a smaller development. But yet it's still going to be getting us the rental units that we need. The expedited review and density bonus of 20% for coming into the program is still going to remain the same. However, rather than requiring the set aside of 40% of the units or down to 15% of the units as Sussex County rental affordable units, we're now requiring only 12.5%. So there's a reduction in the number of units that you had to supply. The problem that we were finding with the developers was that particularly the 40% number was really high, and it was very difficult for them to be able to make this something that was economically feasible to them, which was part of the reason why we don't have any of these units right now. The ratio of the rental units by type has to reflect the same ratio of the market rate units by type. So you can't have, if you have an apartment complex that has 200 two-bedroom units and 100 one-bedroom units, that same ratio of two-bedroom units to one-bedroom units has to be the same with your rental units. You can't say, I'm going to put up a development of 200 two-bedroom units and 200 one-bedroom units, and all the Sussex County rental units are going to be just the one units or the one-bedroom units or efficiency, something like that. It has to match the ratio. Next, a big change in this is that The tenants, they must be of low to moderate income, but it isn't up to the county to determine their eligibility. It's going to be up to the developer and the applicant to determine the eligibility. And the county will have oversight in that, and they have to supply us with certain documentation and an affidavit saying that they do meet the eligibility requirements. But that sort of takes that part of the administration out of the county CDNH responsibility and shifts that over to the applicant, where in other jurisdictions that's the case. See, one of the things that we wanted to do was, you know, we start making changes to a big program like this that isn't working for us, we want to look to other jurisdictions where it does work. So we looked at Montgomery County, Maryland, we looked at Fairfax County, Virginia, and these seem to be the things that they were doing as well. The rent, rather than being based on the income of that particular family and then after having to try to figure out what that income is and then base a rent on that income, instead, what this ordinance will do is make the income based on a fixed rate, 25% of gross household income, of folks that meet 50% of the area median income. It's going to be adjusted by household size and bedroom size. So every year, based on numbers that our community development and housing group gets from HUD, there'll be a calculation as to what that acceptable rent will be for bedroom units of this size. And so that way, the developers that come in to build these units know right up front what the rent is going to be for that unit. That was another big problem that we heard. That was part of our earlier ordinance, is that they couldn't put into their calculations for this how much they were going to be able to rent these units for, because there wasn't a fixed rent. It was going to be sort of a floating rent based on the applicant's income, and that just wasn't working. And lastly, we talk about floating, something that we are going to do that's different, and that is, currently, the way the ordinance is written, if you have a tenant that actually is in one of the rental units, the affordable rental units, and their income then goes above low or moderate income, so they no longer qualify, they would have to leave that unit. They would have to find someplace else to live. The way that the revised ordinance is written, so long as the applicant designates another unit in their development as an affordable rental unit to kind of replace that one, then the tenant can stay where they are. They would have to pay market rate now. But they don't have to pick up all their belongings and move. That was seen as a problem as well. So those are the big changes to the ordinance. These are things that you've heard before. You know, now there's a little bit more detail. I don't want to be tedious with you. It's not necessary on a Tuesday morning, but we'll certainly be here to answer any questions you have.
Question of the council? Question of Mr. Cole?
So basically you reduced the requirement. Like it used to be 25 units you had to have or something, now
yes.
That we've done away with that.
Correct.
So they can have less. And then the other thing is the developer's going to determine eligibility.
Correct.
And how do we, this sounds really, I hate to say it, but it's like the fox is in the hen house here. So how does the county or the government out there who's trying to encourage this know that they're actually complying?
There will be reporting requirements that are
on every rental made
affordable unit. So I mean, they already have to go through a screening process anyway with their market rate tenants to establish, you know, eligibility for credit score, all of that. So during that process is where there's just one.
Is there a standard application that everybody's going to be filling out so that we can look at and determine? What criteria we're using to determine
really just
all this?
The only additional item that they'll have to review, because the tenants that come through the affordable housing program will still be held to the same standard in terms of their credit, and they're not going to have any, you know, special treatment in that regard. The only additional criteria is that they have to meet the income requirements. So we would just ask the landlord to document that they meet those income restrictions. That's the only additional obligation that they should have.
And another question is, it talked about that the only areas this is going to be applied to is in the growth areas and an area of opportunity. What is an area of opportunity?
So that is a term that comes from the Delaware State Housing Authority. They've reviewed sort of the development throughout Delaware, and as you've heard with our study, there's impacted areas of the county where there is a significant amount of rental housing already. And so what DSHA has recommended is that we start encouraging the development of rental, affordable rental housing in other areas. So, for example, the east side of the county where there's very little affordable housing. So they really strongly recommend that we encourage development on that side. This is not a requirement of the program, but we encourage that development take place in areas where there's not already a significant amount of rental housing or affordable rental housing, like public housing or Section 8 vouchers.
So the government is encouraging it now to move east. Is there a map of these areas of opportunity so I could look and see whether it's in an area of opportunity? Could you give me an example on the east side of the county where an area of opportunity is? The whole east side?
Pretty much.
Oh, I figured that. So,
but this is not, again, this is all inner, you know, this is just 12.5% of a market rate subdivision. So it's not, we're not designating buildings of affordable housing here. This is intermixed without.
Well, what I see on the east side of the county, now there's no minimum required. So you have a 200 unit subdivision. They don't have to have 25% anymore, right?
They have to submit, there's a 12.5% set aside.
So they at least have to have 12.5%. But yet they get a 20% bonus density?
Yes, correct.
So again, the answer to solving the problem of rental property or renters and all this other stuff is increase the density. It's funny how everything, it's always increase the density is the solution to all our problems. Creates a lot of problems is what I think. But anyway, okay, interesting. I'm not real pleased with the whole east side being an area of opportunity. And I would think that when we have public hearings and we hear of a subdivision going in and they've applied for this, you will get the minimal amount on the east side of the county. So we're going to get more density and less rental units. It will be just an end run around the density requirement. So, and a lot of it's the red tape. That's why they're not doing it. It's a marketplace. There's no money to be made in doing that type of housing in the coastal side of the county.
Well, I think also this is a program that can be changed at the will of council as well. If what mm-hmm. happens is, if what comes to fruition is what you're concerned about, that at some point we can put the brakes on it.
Well, the last program we had was going to be the solution, and of course nobody took us up on that one. So now we've tweaked it, we've lowered the standards. It's like education when they can't graduate them, we lower the standards so they can graduate. So anyway, we've lowered the standards on this to make sure that somebody takes it up so we can feel good about it. So I don't know. I don't know about feeling good about it and increasing the density and seeing if this is a loophole just to have developers come in with higher density projects in areas that already have a lot of problems with traffic and other density-related issues. So anyway, but personal concerns.
You know, I have the same concerns he does.
Mr. Deaver.
And thank you, Mr. President. I remember that there was an affordable rental housing project on Plantation Road. It's still viable. And the project next to Ellendale is supposed to have affordable housing. No? But I think that was built under our current plan.
If you're referring to Ingram Village
yes.
in Ellendale, yes, that has been annexed into the town of Ellendale, mm-hmm. so it is no longer under the county's jurisdiction.
Okay, we don't, it's not considered
one
part
of it. But
we do
support, there's a significant amount of affordable housing taking place there. Several nonprofits that we work with are building there.
But you've had to find nonprofits to get involved
well,
we
with haven't. It's
right.
Yeah, the town has taken over, but there's already a lot of affordable housing work going on anyway.
All right. So if this is going to be for rental houses, I mean, every time somebody leaves and somebody else comes in to rent one of these houses, they have to who finds whether they have the right kind of income level. Because this goes on and on. We're talking about rentals, not purchases.
Right, it's up,
I understand
the,
it.
It's up to the landlord that's actually running the apartment complex. These are going to be apartments.
Oh, if you have like a complex, not individual houses?
Correct.
But it could be, could it not?
I suppose it could be.
Sure could. Could be mobile homes.
I'm trying to.
Could be a manufactured housing community.
But if there right? has to be, but they're rental. So whoever the landlord is on there, they're going to be required to get the tax documents, get whatever they need in order to verify this person is of low to moderate income. They will need to sign an affidavit then submitted to us as the county that they are still following all the rules, that this person is of low to moderate income. They have to supply to the county what is the rent of that unit, the actual lease that's been let to that person. Within 30 days when they let it to the person. So we will have oversight over that and would be able to take enforcement action if they were untruthful.
And the county would be overseeing that process.
Right, rather than actually doing the paperwork.
What is the enforcement action we would take if we found out a tenant didn't meet the qualifications? Throw them out?
I don't think it would be on the tenant. I suspect it would be for... For the landlord.
Huh?
It would be on.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Who made up all these regulations? Who made up all these regulations? Did you make these regulations up?
Where did it come from?
Clinton.
Yeah, we currently have regulations.
I think we'll blame it on the attorney, Mr. Wilson. We don't want to blame it on our staff.
You know, we're sitting here talking this morning, we're short on rentals. No wonder. It's called regulations. And you've got so many regulations put on the owner. No wonder he don't want to do anything like that, because the daggone cost is going up so much. Why should I want to put another house in?
Sam, could I help with this?
Because I hear too much from those telling me what I can do.
This originally came to our department at the request of residents who were basically telling council members at the time that it's very hard for their families to, you know, who live in Selbyville or Milton to have a house and stay in the same community. So that's where this started years ago, and we did look to Montgomery County and some other county.
Oh, yeah.
It was really a request that came from the council to us originally.
We're not inventing anything. We're just using things that they've tried elsewhere, and maybe there's something to do with the fact that our eastern side of the county is a resort area. And resort areas, throw the book away, folks, because anything you think that works in some of these counties that aren't on a coastal area like Sussex County, I mean, it's just a different rules. And so I say to try to fit in something like this is going to be very difficult. So anyway.
The chickens come home roost.
Chickens?
I know that.
Chickens come home roost, George.
Chickens?
Okay.
We're talking about people.
You don't want to. How long you voted for it? You voted for all this, remember?
Any more questions to council?
One more, please, Mr. President.
There
was so much talk, I forgot what I was going to ask. We approved a very large mobile home park just north of Route 16. Very, very large. I mean, hundreds of homes. So I'm wondering, does this in any way help as far as making affordable housing available? Are mobile homes and parks considered part of this? Are they considered affordable housing?
If they apply for
because
it.
Because we have right. lots
they have
of...
to apply for it.
In other words, you can still do it without applying for this, but if you apply for this program, the deal is you get a bonus density. To make
right.
it, that's
but
the incentive.
So, okay, it has to go through this process. So, but we there's no, there's nothing as far as our providing, approving lower end.
No.
Okay, well, I just feel that it's a very, I think it's a great thing that we did, that we approved a huge mobile home park and in an area that it's not heavily developed at this time. So. I'm just curious.
And
about
just
that.
To, I mean, in terms of the quality control, this is the units that go through this program that are designated as affordable are supposed to be intermixed throughout the community. So if you're riding through a community, you would not be able to determine
right.
which one is part of our program as compared to a market rate unit. That's the
mm-hmm.
whole idea. So they
mm-hmm.
would have the similar amenities, everything. So from the exterior, even on your same hallway, you shouldn't be able to know if someone is participating in this program or paying market rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. So there's not supposed to be any, you know, baggage tied to someone that...
No stigma to attached with, yes, with attached to living in one of these type of units because it's the same as everything else,
yes.
right?
Thank you.
That's a problem. Mr. President, may I jump? I've been listening and observing and learning at the same time.
A couple of thoughts very, very quickly. And first and foremost, thank you. And it would be my aspiration to have no affordable homes in this county, meaning that people can actually afford to do what they do without the program, is what I'm trying to say. I think it would be everybody's aspiration is to be able to do that, that they have a nice paying job and a nice income, whereas they don't have to be a part of the program. I would think that would be everybody's goal. So that would be number one. Number two is I did have a question with regard to the who determines the ratio. Earlier you mentioned ratios regarding the affordable housing, two-bedroom units, one-bedroom units. Who determines those ratios?
Well, I guess it would be the developer, but it has to be something that would go through Janelle, the planning and zoning, to make sure that that's correct. Because the developer is going to come to planning and zoning and to you folks with an idea. This is the size, you know, development I want to have, and here's the number of bedrooms that I plan on putting for this size. And so, you know, we'll be double checking that.
I guess what the question is, the government, we are not enforcing or requiring certain. Okay. Because the market itself should determine what's
correct.
Okay.
Yes, the developer would propose their planned community, and then we would just ensure that the ratio of the rental, you know, the units for our program match those of the market rate. That's the only thing. There's not a predetermined.
Okay. How many affordable homes do we have currently in this county?
Through the county?
Yes.
Zero.
So not one. Is that because there's not a need, or is that because...
There's a need, and the problem is that both of these, the rental program and the homeownership inclusionary zoning programs that we have, were created in the height of the boom. And so they were a reflection of the real estate market at that time, and you know, subsequently that crashed, and so our developers lost financing, they couldn't secure financing, and they weren't able to break ground, and a lot of these communities went through foreclosure, and we just lost them. We had several applicants, but so at this point, we're just trying to kind of tweak it a little bit, as Mr. Cole said, just to make it so that it's more attractive to today's conditions.
So we don't have it. It's not because the need's not there. It's just because the developers didn't build because of the market conditions.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we're attempting to tweak to attract the developers, builders, so therefore they can provide the need. Okay, and then one last point, thought, more of a comment, is as we move forward through this process, I would love to see something, just as a conduit of sorts, is perhaps something along the lines of like a rent to own or a lease to own. In other words, you know, not something that's going to be a forever thing, but give the opportunity for the families to be able to realize there is another option. And I know there's nonprofits out there that provide assistance with that, but I would love to be able to see that. As in the end game, again, we don't have this need, we don't have this department, everybody has their own home, right? And affordable homing is not an option. I would love to be able to see a system of sorts to provide an incentive, whereas there could be perhaps a lease-to-own option. Thank you.
And Mr. President, I do have one last promise. I promise.
Mr. Cole.
The 12%, right? That's the new number.
Yes.
12.5.
Big change, right?
12.5.
12.5%. Okay, whatever. It's 12.5. And it used to be?
Half 25.
25%?
25 or 40%.
Okay, 25 or 40. Okay. What expectation do you all have that the developers who now... go for this program, somebody comes in from the private sector, not somebody, or any of them, it doesn't matter, the private sector, would want to exceed the minimal amount. So we did have, you know, we did have at least 25% or 40%, so we were getting something for that additional density. Now that you're getting lowering it to 12.5%, I can't imagine any developer from the private side coming into this program and providing any more than 12.5%. And it'll be take us for another 10 generations to ever make a dent in the rental market issue. So, I mean, it's like a Band-Aid. It makes us feel good that we're doing something, but I just don't see anything really being accomplished other than you get, again, a developer, 12%, 12.5%, that's all I'm going to do. What is there any incentive in here to say, we'd like you to do more than 12.5%. We'd like you to have more units that you'll be able to get less money for, as opposed to more units that you can get more money for. Why would they do that?
Well, that's what I'd like to ask for you. Any suggestions for additional
incentives? It won't work. No, I mean, it's just...
You know, that's the, with a voluntary PERT, without making it mandatory for every project that comes through here.
When these other states that we plagiarize these programs from, they require it.
They do.
Bingo. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. So this voluntary system, we're going to get the minimal amount.
Yeah.
We're going to feel good about it. We're doing something. We can tell these other agencies, hey, look what we're doing down here. And we're not going to really accomplish much, except we're going to get additional density. I see the end result for this. Because even people in these low-income units are still going to have the cars, going to have the trash created, the pets and everything that go with more people. So I hate to say it. Until we require it, and I don't know if this council's willing to make that big step in Sussex County. It seems that we didn't the last time. And again, there should be some thoughts gone to that. Otherwise, this program, I think, will be like similar other programs coming down, making us feel good. And I do feel good about this whole thing.
There we go. This is the half a loaf.
Do we have anybody, a developer, right now that's saying, yes, you approve this, we will move forward?
Yes.
Do we have that today?
Yes, we do.
We do.
That we do. And that was part of us actually putting this together and bringing it for you at this time. And we actually met with them to say, okay, we know we haven't been able to get this up off the ground. Can we put something together here that's going to entice at least somebody to come step forward? And we do have that.
Okay.
Give us a scenario of that of that project. You don't have to tell us where it is.
He promised.
How many years?
He promised.
No, I know, but I promised I wasn't going to run.
Mr. Cole.
I like, as they do in Washington, I lie.
Well, the 12.5% does make a difference here. I think Brandy misspoke with the 25%. It's 15%. It was 15% earlier. Mm-hmm. But if you have a proposed development of 65 units or more, you had to set aside 15% as affordable. So what we said now, and what we've said now is, no, you can reduce that number to 12.5. And with this particular developer that will be coming through, it's greater than 65 units. So that difference, that small 2.5% difference, did make a difference.
So this project you're alluding to is going to be what percentage of a rental in this program?
I suspect it'll be 12.5%.
I would suspect.
You know, but what we could we could always have an amendment on the ordinance that says, that's encouraging, that if you want to do more than 12.5, if you want to go up to 15%, then we'll do
X.
Some, incentive. Mm-hmm. Then we'll increase the density 25%.
No, I don't want to increase any density, honey.
And let it be known that Councilman Cole provided that as a recommendation.
I'm just saying, I don't think density is the answer to all our ills in Sussex County.
It may not be. It may be that instead, what we do,
I think it's created a lot of our ills.
Not where I live. Well, that we provide
you think the density's
subsidy.
Yes,
more.
It's the biggest.
I mean, is that something that you're interested in?
Well, that's right. If you could allow a speaker to talk.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm arguing with Joan.
Well, you know.
Well, another thing that could be done, if this is something that is the will of council, is that if you don't like the idea of increasing density, is that the county could subsidize the development. For instance, we know that impact fees are one of the things that hold developers back, the size and the amount of impact fees they're paying per unit of $10,000 to $15,000 per unit. What they're saying is, if we're only going to be able to rent these apartments for $500 a month, you know, and we're having to pay $10,000 to $15,000 per unit for an impact fee, that's a huge burden for us. So one of the things that council could do is decide to subsidize that.
Well, what's that mean? Who does subsidize?
It would come from
when
the
she says the
community.
Council, who would you think that would be?
Sam Wilson.
Wilson.
Are you going to subsidize it out of your pocket?
Well, I'm not going to, but you asked the question. The question is, the council could vote to do that.
My question
with taxpayer money.
And that's what I want to hear. Taxpayers paying.
Well, in other words, Mr.
They?
President, in other words, is I didn't make the promise, George. So, but in other words, it has to be a win-win. It has to be a win-win.
Correct.
It's called free enterprise. It's called free market. It has to be a win-win. And in the end, if it is too expensive, quote-unquote, to the developer to build,
and there's not their percent of income or profit, that's their, they're not going to do it. So if there is another area of incentive, which is your point, not so much the density, Mr. Cole, as you were saying, because if more density, there's more opportunities to create more of an income because of there's more housing, right? So we have to look at other options beyond the density is what they are providing.
Well, she made a great suggestion.
It's all about
so I would suggest instead of getting into things right. we can do in the future, keep to this because this is a public hearing on the current ordinance
right. exactly.
that's proposed.
Well, this is sort of rent control, isn't it?
Are there any other questions?
Any other questions, from council? Yes.
Is this not sort of rent control?
What do you mean by rent control?
Pardon?
What do you mean by rent control?
Sound like me? You're trying to tell how much you can charge? What you can charge for the size of building they got?
No, you're telling you what they can charge if they're going to use it for low-income housing.
And okay. you want
if they don't want to do that. There's nothing that makes anybody do this, Sam. No. Not one soul has got to do this.
In other words, that's why we're short of rent. That's why we're short of buildings to be rented, right?
That's correct.
Well, we're trying to control too much. Trying to tell people what you can do, can't do.
Well, they have to voluntarily say this is something that they want to do. You know, this right. isn't a program that anyone's forcing anyone to come into. But if you want to come in and you want the increase in density and you want the expedited hearing, then as what you have to give is this rent control to what you're saying for a period
right.
of time.
I kind of don't agree with rent control. I think that puts free enterprise people out, free enterprise system out, shuts them down, free market.
Any more questions, Council? We're going to move on this.
Yes. Do you have anything else to add?
Thank you.
Thank you.
If not, is there anyone here in the public that would like to address this proposed ordinance? Is there anyone here that would like to address this? Mr. Conopy.
we see no one. We're going to move on.
Turn that clock off. We're not going to have that. Well, it's with great trepidation, and boy, you owe me now after hearing this discussion. My name is Conway, Joe Conway. I represent absolutely nobody but myself today, but I do remember history. That's what gets me in trouble, Sam. First, this isn't rent control. Let's get that out. This is not at all rent control. Secondly, the fact that you're even doing this goes to a development in Western Sussex, George, that this commission, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the council turned down, as they should have. You got sued and lost and paid $750,000, and you've resulted now in this situation where they look at what you do and don't do. So the first project was to be in Western Sussex, not Eastern. I did represent the developers of the project in Eastern Sussex called Arbors at Collingsdale. We applied under the existing ordinance at the time. It was a larger project than it was finally approved at. We didn't get the incentive, even though we did get the affordable housing or affordable rental. Let's say that you have an ordinance for affordable housing, which when I was mayor of Bridgeville, we duplicated because we thought you led the way and it was a good ordinance, and we did do it. The affordable rental program allowed us to apply for more units. We did, and we didn't get them. It was approved, and I think the vote wasn't unanimous, but it was approved. That project has been there since 2006. Admittedly, the market killed a lot of this. It's gone through a couple of owners, but not one of the owners, some of the people who wanted to buy it, not one of the owners of the project have walked away from this project. They will build a rental, affordable rental project if this ordinance allows them to. And let me tell you why the ordinance, and I want to compliment your staff for what they did, including all the attorneys, all the planning and zoning people, and all the community development people. They worked very closely and came out with what I think is an ordinance that protects the taxpayers, the council, but allows finally for someone to be able to rent in an area where they couldn't find they couldn't find one because the price of rentals are so high. The project as proposed would cost, because it's on a brownfield, remember that? Some of you were here. It's on a brownfield.
Oh, I remember.
Yes, you do. it's not going to get cleaned up. State's not going to clean it up. There's been some attempt to do it by previous owners, but that has to go, and that's a $3 million tag to clean that project up. It's going to cost them between $15 and $18 million. I've even heard as much as $24 million from the new owner. The uncertainty of how many units had to be provided, and with the level of the folks that would qualify, made it absolutely economically impossible for them to build this project and recoup even the money they put in. So the council or the county's folks really worked their magic and came up with what I believe is an ordinance that begins the process of doing what the federal government has forced you to look at. And I think you're looking at it with the right idea that that we do need to address the need for homes. I was going to go through this thing. The incentives were already in the old ordinance, so this is new, the incentive program. So keeping it, I think, does help. I mean, if they could build the arbors with 20% more units, it would have made it more fiscally, you know, doable. But that's, well, I'm not here to discuss that. I mean, the ordinance is the ordinance. The approval is the approval. They'll build if they can actually afford to do that. The expedited review, back in 2006 when this came through, there was expedited review needed for a lot of projects. I'm not sure today that's necessary because, you know, the things have slowed down. But it's still good that it's been kept in the ordinance for use. At 12.5%, even if you got a 20% density bonus, George, that would still mean that 12.5% of that 20% has to be part of this program. So they're not walking away free. Brandy has already indicated that you will not be able to tell the difference between these units, so that's good. And one of the things that I like in this new ordinance, that if the people who end up building the arbors decided they want out, well, they can get out and they can sell it, but the project is the project. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. So you're selling what you all have approved as a project, not something that a developer would come in and decide he needs a change to make more money. I like the role the county administrator is going to play in this. It'll lead for quicker decisions. There's more opportunity for flexibility. So I want to congratulate you all for considering it. It's a tough sell in Sussex. I understand that. You know, I'm here. But I think it's a start. There is a project that's out there and ready to go. I will not be representing them. And they're ready to build, but they can't build under your existing ordinance because they just can't afford to put concrete in the ground. When you're looking at a $3 million nut to take care of the brownfield that was created years and years ago. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in reference to this ordinance? Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Definitely doesn't want to speak.
I just wanted to mention that we did receive one comment. We want to make sure that that gets into the record.
Please.
On the ordinance. And this is from Kent Scotch, who I believe was speaking on behalf of he and Mr. Burton from Burton Builders. They submitted an email into to Janelle and to Brandy, excuse me, a couple of weeks ago. It says, Janelle and Brandy, thank you for meeting with Randy and I the other day. It's an interesting and I think important program you're putting together. I was fortunate enough to purchase east of Route 1 before the price increases that have made it so tough for working folks. That said, however, the program does not work for us with the project we're considering. It does not work for a few reasons. Primarily, it may or may not be something that needs to be addressed in general with the program. If we were to increase density, we would be financially responsible for necessary upgrades to the sewer line servicing the property, as it was sized based on current allowable density. On a bigger project, this may not be such a concern, but with something the scale we're considering, it isn't workable. Furthermore, I think it'd be helpful if the duration of the commitment were reduced. 30 years feels like a long time. In the case of our project, we would be looking at $530 to $730 per month reduction for a three-bedroom unit. Over 30 years, assuming no vacancies, $530 adds up to almost $200,000. I can't say I have a firm idea of what number of years I think would work, however. Lastly, although I understand that Sussex is all one county, if a local range of X number of miles could be applied to rental calculations, I think it would help make it more appealing. In our case, east of Route 1, it would be a substantial reduction from the market rate. Thank you again for your time. Kent Scotch.
Okay, thank you. And is there anyone else that would like to speak? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and if desire, I could read the short title.
We'll close public hearing. Mr. Moore, read the short title, and we'll see what council wants to do.
Thank you. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 72, Housing Units, Moderately Priced, Rental Units, Affordably Priced, Article 2, Affordably Priced Rental Units.
Pleasure, council.
I would move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette. Do we have a second? I'll give the gavel to Mr. Wilson. I will second the motion.
Second. Passed. Got the motion.
We got a motion. We're good.
Do you want to vote, Joe?
We're good. Okay. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Wait, I can't remember how I voted the first time around. I'm getting senile. I didn't like it. I think I had the similar questions the first time. Could you remind me, did I vote for it or against it? I voted for it? You're kidding me. I think I was feeling good. You know how you feel good about these kind of things? I think that, you know, if we had these incentives for the western side of the county, you know, that makes sense to me. I think right now the housing market, there's a lot of homes out there that are renting fairly reasonable if you get out in the rural parts of the county off these major thoroughfares. So, I'm just very suspicious that government, when we come up with these kind of feel-good programs, that they ever work. But I'll vote yes for I don't have a bunch of confidence in this one either, but I don't think density is the answer to all our ills in Sussex County. And to get developers to participate in things that throw more density out is the wrong carrot to be using. So maybe these other options, like Stephanie mentioned, reduction in other things would be better. Thank you. I'll vote yes.
Mr. Arlette.
That's all right. I just
like it, but Mr. President, I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I will vote yes. Just make George feel good.
I do feel good, Sam. Thank you.
I will also vote yes. Thank you for all of your hard work.
Yes.
And hopefully this will work. Okay. Now we're going to move back on the agenda.
Amendment to subject.
Mr. Lawson.
Okay. Thank you, staff.